Seemed hard to believe yesterday afternoon when we got the word that there was an apparent assassination attempt of former President Donald Trump, this time at a golf course he owns in West Palm Beach, Florida. A suspect, 58-year-old Ryan Wesley Routh of Hawaii, formerly of North Carolina, was arrested. They chased him, but they was taken into custody without incident. And the former president is safe, no one else injured. But David, you reported extensively for us a couple of months ago, and right. Hard to believe it's apparently happened again.
Especially as you heard how this was all unfolding yesterday. I mean, initially the story was that there was a shootout near a place where the president, former president, was in Florida. And then as more details started to come out, you found out, oh, this was another attempted assassination attempt. At least what we know in this case is the suspect is in custody. So hopefully we'll get a chance to find out what his motive is, because still 2 months after the fact, it's still not 100% clear what caused Thomas Crooks to decide to try and shoot the former president up in Butler.
And apparently there is a lot of information about this suspect on social media channels as well. CBS's Christian Benvenides.
Officials say the suspect left a rifle, a scope, and two backpacks when he fled.
And there's also a GoPro on the fence there where he was intent on filming what was going on.
While it's not certain that Routh fired at the former president, it is true that the Secret Service had spotted him and fired in his direction, and that's when he took off, and a citizen had taken his license plate down, and that seemed to be the key
right.
to arresting him so quickly. And but he wanted to make sure Donald Trump posted that he was safe, and obviously unfortunate that this has happened again, but in this case, nobody apparently was injured. So, appreciative of that for sure. People will be talking about the weekend, the Steelers yesterday.
Sure.
Coach Mike Tomlin.
The weather was really nice all week.
That was Pat Narduzzi.
I'm really appreciative of the efforts. Just told the guys in there, start the season with two road games, be 2-0, man, it's a pretty good feeling. Obviously, we got a lot to work on, but it's good to work on it with the required W of the week.
The required W of the week. Yeah, it's good to get a win on the road like that.
Sure. The only thing that gets me is sometimes Pittsburgh sports fans get to the point where it's this early in the season, they're already planning their Super Bowl trips and so on.
Yeah, it's a little early for that. However, the good news is the Ravens lost.
Sure.
They're 0-2.
Sure.
Cincinnati lost. They're 0-2.
And certainly better to be 2-0 than 0-2 at this point.
And we've experienced that as well.
Right.
And Cleveland ended up finding a way to win. So the Steelers are in first place and coming home to face the Chargers, who had a big game. So 1 o'clock, Acrisure Stadium on Sunday. Looking forward. And I would imagine, David, the Steelers crowd will be pumped up to welcome the Steelers home.
No doubt about that. Are they home the following week, too? Do you know?
Well, how are you going to make
it? Because usually it seems, because that's the great race weekend, and usually it seems like there was always a Steelers game that coincided with that as well.
The schedule is definitely home friendly at the end of the season.
Okay.
But we have the Chargers, then they're away against the Colts.
Okay.
Then they host Sunday night football against the Cowboys on October 6th.
Wow.
So, yeah, first three of four games are on the road. And Indianapolis had a good game yesterday, so we'll see. But one game at a time, David.
Right.
You know what the coaches say.
Right.
And last night, the 76th annual Primetime Emmy Awards. And there were a bunch of... A lot of these shows... people never heard of.
Right.
FX's The Bear came into the night with a record 23 nominations and took home several awards, including Best Lead Actor.
Jeremy Allen White, The Bear.
Have you ever seen The Bear?
I've never seen The Bear.
Do you know what it's about?
I have no clue.
You know, there's a list. Aaron, did you ever see The Bear?
I love the bear. Huge fan.
How would you describe to David what the bear was all about?
Okay, so think of the bougiest restaurant you've ever been to.
Okay.
Where the chef is freaking out. The servers are explaining the food to you when they place your food at your plate. They're explaining the wine. That's the show, and it talks about a lot of chefs and their mindset and the turmoil that goes into having this perfectionist demeanor in the kitchen bringing what you eat.
Well, so is the bear the metaphor for the chef then?
Yeah, they call
yes. It. Oh my gosh, David. Great. Yep. Love that.
Very good, David. Yep. They call him the bear, and it's set in Chicago. But there are a bunch of winners of shows that a lot of people don't know.
Like Shogun.
Shogun got all these awards. Do you know what Shogun is, David?
I know the Richard Chamberlain Shogun from
that was 40 years ago.
That was.
Good God.
I have not seen it. It's got me thinking, should I check it out? All these awards.
Right. Maybe that's it. You know, some of these shows that got awards, these streaming shows that aren't, most of them are not on network television. You know, for almost the entire existence of the primetime Emmys, up until, you know, the last decade or so, it was ABC, NBC, CBS, maybe HBO, a couple others. Now, it's spread all over the place. Hulu,
right.
FX.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I was just looking at the list.
You know, the thing about that, too, that it gets me is that we've moved away from, you know, the following day, people would be talking about, hey, did you watch Murphy Brown last night or something like that? And people talk about it. Now it's, oh, don't tell me what happened on The Bear because I haven't seen the newest episode yet.
It's
it takes
so
away
true.
From the cultural, you know, the bringing together of people over what they watched or heard.
It's a good point.
Except for the football games. That's, you know, that's pretty much it.
To your point, that is one of the last bastions of collective viewing is live sporting events.
Or presidential debates and that sort of thing.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. So that's it. People will be talking about that, but a lot about the Steelers and a lot about what happened. 622 News Radio KDKA. This is Larry Richard and a special report from CBS. Former President Donald Trump safe following what the FBI says appears to be an attempted assassination attempt yesterday afternoon while playing golf just 2 months after an attempt on his life here in Butler, Pennsylvania. Local authorities said that U.S. Secret Service agents protecting former president fired at a man pointing an AK-style rifle with a scope at Donald Trump while he was playing on one of his Florida golf courses in West Palm Beach. Law enforcement officials said the man who pointed the rifle was arrested. Ryan Wesley Routh, 58 years old. Officials identified the suspect that he is a Hawaiian resident but used to live in North Carolina most of his life before moving to Hawaii in 2018, where he and his son operated a company building sheds, according to an archived version of the webpage for his business. Routh frequently posted on social media about the war in Ukraine, had a website where he sought to raise money and recruit volunteers to go to Kiev to join the fight against the Russian invasion. In June of 2020, he made a post on X directed at then President Trump to say that he would win re-election if he issued an executive order for the Justice Department to prosecute police misconduct. That year, he also posted in support of the Democratic presidential campaign. However, recent years, his posts suggested he has turned on the former president. And in July, following the assassination attempt here in Pennsylvania, Routh urged Biden and Harris to visit those wounded in the shooting in the hospital, attend the funeral. And they're going to obviously go through a lot of information about the suspect, Ryan Wesley Routh, age 58 again, of Hawaiian residence. And former president was not hurt, nor was anyone else apparently injured in the incident. We'll have more coming up at the bottom of this hour, and also a report from CBS. 643 News Radio KDK last night in Hollywood. It was the 76th annual Primetime Emmys. And with the details, CBS's Carissa Lawson.
FX's The Bear came into the night with a record 23 nominations and took home several awards, including Best Lead Actor.
Jeremy Allen White, The Bear.
Best Supporting Actor in a Comedy Series.
Evan Moss Backer.
And Best Supporting Actress, Liza Colon Zayas, the first Latina to win in that category.
So all the Latinas who are looking at me, keep believing and vote. Vote for your rights. Thank you. Thank you.
But it was HBO's Hacks that beat The Bear to win Best Comedy Series, the biggest surprise of the night. The historical drama Shogun swept the top drama categories, including Outstanding Drama Series.
You guys greenlit a very expensive, subtitled Japanese period piece whose central climax revolves around a poetry competition. I have no idea why you did that, but thank you for your faith in this incredible team. Arigato gozaimasu.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
The hugely popular but highly contentious Netflix series, Baby Reindeer, created by Richard Gadd, won awards for lead actor, supporting actress, writing, and outstanding limited series. And when it came to great moments, this ensemble reunion of the West Wing received one of the biggest applauses of the night.
It's hard to believe that just 25 years ago, Aaron and the writers actually had to use their imaginations to create interesting plot lines for the West Wing.
A night of laughter, glitz, and glamour, and some history-making moments, too. Carissa Lawson, CBS News.
Reach out to us anytime. It's just a click away. Instant access at kdkradio.com is our email address. Instant access at kdkradio.com. And as David Balorado just indicated, we'll have more coming up at the top of this hour on the attempted assassination attempt. Hard to believe, and I know a lot of people got the word yesterday afternoon, David, just, oh, not again. Oh, no. Not again. But
right.
In this case, no one was wounded and or injured. So, and we don't know all the details about this suspect, but apparently he's left a treasure trove on social media.
Yeah, evidently. And of course, that's, you know, the pros and cons of today with social media. You know, you can go back and find so much about somebody once you need to start looking into their past.
And,
but apparently he was really obsessed with Russia and Ukraine, having gone over and, I guess, what, apparently trying to recruit people to go over and fight?
Yeah, and as, you know, at 58 years old, that's typically a lot older than someone who, if you were going to become a mercenary.
Right.
But you, if you see the photos of some, and they have interviews that he did before, prior with, you know, other media outlets in the past. So, but this happened in this case. And I used to work in West Palm Beach, Florida, in radio out of college, and it's along the coast. So if you don't know, it's just north of the Fort Lauderdale, Miami area.
Okay.
Former President Trump in Mar-a-Lago. It's the old Post estate. You remember the Post cereal?
Okay, sure.
He purchased it and upgraded it, and, you know, created a golf course there. He has other golf courses
right
around there as well, including in Miami. But this one is in West Palm Beach. And he was golfing in the afternoon around 2 o'clock when this occurred.
And so at least the difference in this case is, apparently, from what we understand, they saw the gun, they took action. The guy tried to flee, and an eyewitness jotted down his license plate number, turned it in. There was a very urgent all points bulletin put out, and the suspect was tracked down almost immediately.
And then taken without incident. However, he left the gun, AK-47, it was reported, and a GoPro attached to the fence. Now, there's a fence that surrounds this golf course. And he was apparently in the bushes there it's lined, the fence is also lined with bushes. And when you'll see, and you will see a video mm-hmm. of this fence area, there are palm trees, and apparently he could hide himself in there along the fence line. Now, there's a backpack left and a GoPro attached to the fence.
Sure.
And they presume that he wanted to video himself doing this.
And, of course, there's been some speculation. Was there enough Secret Service protection because he was able to get that close? Some people were saying, I heard a report somewhere, and I can't remember who it was that was making this assertion, but the claim was that if he were the sitting president, there would have been much more security, and they would have been able to have kept him from even getting that close to where he was.
We're talking 300 to 500 yards. So if you look at a football field, sure. It's 100 yards to give you some perspective. If you lined up 3 to 5 football fields, that's quite a distance, but not apparently if you have a scope and a rifle of this magnitude. So we'll continue to bring you details as we work our way through this Monday morning. Our top story is former President Trump, apparently the target of a second assassination attempt. And let's go to KDK's CBS coverage from the network.
A second possible assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump, this time when he was playing golf in Florida. Officials say that the gunman fled after a Secret Service agent fired shots at him. A short time later, we're happy to say the suspect was arrested around 50 miles away. The former president was not harmed. Robert Costa is in West Palm Beach tracking all of this. Bob, this is so troubling and disturbing. I'm glad they have somebody in custody. Good morning to you.
It really is. And sources close to former President Donald Trump say he's in good spirits today and has been recounting what happened to friends, family, and advisors and praising the Secret Service. And they say he is determined to carry on with his campaign this week.
A second apparent assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump, coming just 2 months after another at a Pennsylvania rally in July.
Former President Donald Trump is safe and unharmed.
Law enforcement officials said while Trump was playing golf, a Secret Service agent ahead of him spotted someone along the perimeter of the course in the bushes with a gun.
They have an agent that jumps one hole ahead of time to where the president was at. And he was able to spot this rifle barrel sticking out of the fence and immediately engage that individual.
According to authorities, the incident took place near the 5th and 6th holes, while the former president was just 300 to 500 yards away. The agent fired off 4 to 6 rounds, and the suspect then took off in a car parked nearby.
A witness took a picture of the car's plate and reported it. Then law enforcement tracked the car north in Martin County, and the driver was taken into custody without incident.
Left behind in the bushes that line the golf course, according to the Palm Beach Sheriff, an AK-47 style rifle and scope, along with 2 backpacks and a GoPro camera. Multiple officials tell CBS the suspect is Ryan Wesley Ruth, who's in his late 50s. And has had previous encounters with law enforcement, including charges related to unlawful weapons possession. Ruth also traveled overseas in 2022 to Ukraine to fight in the war against Russia and spoke in interviews about supporting the Ukrainian effort.
We need everybody from around the globe to stop what they're doing and come here now and support the Ukrainians to end this war.
Following the incident, Trump on Sunday wrote in a campaign fundraising email, "I am safe and well. Nothing will slow me down." Samantha Vinograd is a CBS national security contributor.
However, it is incredibly important until we learn of the specific motivation that individuals don't assign blame or indicate that they know what the motivation was. This could lead to unnecessary copycat attacks, retaliatory attacks, and overall an even more heightened threat environment in the country.
President Biden and Vice President Harris have both been briefed. In a statement, Vice President Harris said, "Violence has no place in America." And the president said the Secret Service should make every resource available to former President Trump to make sure he is protected.
And we'll continue, obviously, to follow the details as they unravel this morning. And the president, again, reiterating that they will support whatever Secret Service needs to help keep the former president safe. And violence has no place. Vice President Kamala Harris Sunday condemned political violence, said she was deeply disturbed by the possible assassination attempt of former President Donald Trump. She went on to say, as we gather the facts, I will be clear, I condemn political violence. We all must do our part to ensure that this incident does not lead to more violence. And so we'll continue to bring you the latest here on the Big K Morning Show. Paul Rasmussen on vacation this week, David Balorado in. And David, these school threats continue to disrupt a lot of area school districts. It's really changed the narrative as we've gotten into the first few weeks of this school year.
Right.
I mean, this is happening, I can't remember,
almost on a daily basis,
this number of schools that are having these threats. Now, you know, they've mostly been determined to be, you know, in spite of the fact that they don't think they're credible.
Right.
They have to.
They have to act. Right.
But it's so disruptive. And a lot of parents and a lot of kids, frankly, have a lot of anxiety about it.
Sure.
But with the social media and, in some cases, the inability to track the source, it's a big issue. Now, I know a lot of them have engaged the FBI to try to find out who's behind it. We found one was reported to be an elementary student,
right,
a female who was 10 years old.
Right.
I'm not sure what they can do to stop it.
And a lot of it's showing up on Snapchat as well. But I think that actually is probably helping law enforcement to be able to determine a little bit more about whether they're credible or not, just by being able to look at the, you know, the digital equivalent of the paper trail on each of those. But it's one of those things that the FBI, you know, when they issued their statement last week, they talked about, you know, they have to investigate these because, of course, no one wants yet another Columbine, right? No one wants to see something like that happen again. But it's a strain on resources. It's a strain on the district. It puts people and first responders in unnecessary danger to try to investigate all of these things. And at some point, it's, you know, you have to wonder, when is this going to stop? Because it can't be a daily occurrence. And unfortunately, for the last 2 weeks, it seems to have been a daily occurrence.
Oh, it has been. And we're not talking about this is isolated to one or two school districts. This is widespread around the southwestern Pennsylvania region.
Right. But, well, even slightly beyond that as well, because the FBI's statement last week mentioned West Virginia as well. So apparently it's been going on in that region, too.
And my guess is it's something that's pretty commonplace around the country. You know, we're reporting these here daily,
right?
Because it's local. But we'll look into the fact that this has got to be going on around the country.
Right. And then the motivation behind them, too. Why are they doing it? Is it something simple like trying to get out of a quiz, or what's going on with it?
You know, if you're dealing with,
or if someone really is planning to do something. I mean, again, you can never fully discount that.
That's the issue.
Right.
You can't, once one of these threats are made, they have to act, even though they know the 99% of them or more are not credible.
Right.
But that if they don't, and there was an issue, imagine the liability for that.
Sure.
So, meanwhile, we'll continue to get some more details. Seems like there is a lot known about this suspect in this alleged assassination attempt. 58-year-old Ryan Wesley Ruth.
That's how I've been hearing. Yeah.
Yeah. Hawaii. That's his residency since 2018. He spent most of his life in North Carolina. He's got a long history of activism, and as you heard in that CBS report perhaps a few minutes ago, they've got this guy talking about and with photographs of him in Ukraine. Mm-hmm. He's got a real interest in Ukraine and what's going on with the Russian invasion there. In this case, though, it wasn't a large crowd. No one was injured, including a former president, obviously, posting right away yesterday that he was safe,
right,
and taken to his home in Mar-a-Lago, which for people don't know, that's in the vicinity of Palm Beach, West Palm Beach, Florida, where Donald Trump has a huge footprint because he owns a number of golf courses in particular.
Right. That's an interesting distinction you just made as well. This was not at a crowded event. Comparing, contrasting with what happened in Butler, where, you know, unfortunately Corey Comparator was killed trying to protect his family when the shots were fired. So the question that comes up with a lot of people have been asking, so how did he know that he was going to, how did the suspect, Ruth, how did he know that Donald Trump was going to be there at that time?
That's a great question. Although, you know, he owns those. And this is, if you'll see, and you will see the video and the pictures that we've seen, where along the, you know, property line of the golf course is a fence, mm-hmm. a fence line with bushes along the fence, and then there's palm trees, and then there's a road. So he was apparently in the bushes. So if people were driving by, they wouldn't necessarily have seen him.
Right.
But one of the Secret Service, you know, surveying. Now, if he's 300 to 500 yards away, that's far enough. But I'm told if you have that type of weapon with a scope, that's not, you know, that's within distance.
Right.
That you could be, you know, a sniper, basically,
right.
is what it comes down to.
Right.
They saw this, one of the agents saw this muzzle of a gun, and that's when they reacted. But again, they're not sure if he fired a shot, but some Secret Service agents or agent did.
Right. And at least we know, like, you know, as we were saying earlier this morning, at least we know since he was taken live into custody, we'll at least be able to find out a lot more about the motivation, because there's still, it seems hard to believe that there's still so much that's not known about Thomas Crooks and his motivation for that attempted assassination in Butler back in July, but there's been no clear-cut motive stated as to what was going on. We know he was looking at a bunch of different events to try to apparently create some sort of, and turn it into an event, and he chose that one because it was coming up, but we still don't know exactly what prompted him. So hopefully the investigators will be able to help determine what prompted this down in Florida.
And with Crook's case, it looked like he had looked at Biden's schedule too,
right.
and the DNC's event in Philadelphia. But when he found out that Donald Trump was coming to Butler, I guess that was obviously a more accessible target for him. But it just to create an event, I mean, no one will be certain because he's not here to
right.
elaborate
right.
of what the real motivation was. But is it just to create an event by doing something like this, like these school shooters do?
Right.
But in this case, they'll have somebody that they can, I mean, we
right.
expect to hear a
right.
lot more information.
Right. Because think about it. That's one of the problems. You know, somebody I was reading somewhere making mention of Jack Ruby yesterday. Unfortunately, when Jack Ruby shot Lee Harvey Oswald, that ended the chance to have any interrogation of him in depth. And so we have 60 years of conspiracy theories about what happened.
Still.
Yeah.
I'm Larry Richard, and every Monday at this time, we check in with Brian Caranta from Secure Money Advisors, brought to you by Brian and his team. And what Brian does is help you deal with all the amazing issues that you have when you're trying to figure out how to retire. So, Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. Happy Monday to you.
You too. So a lot of people might think, okay, in the course of your work life, a lot of people have something in a stock market, and they think, well, that's the gold mine, right? Majority of individual stocks go high and low, as you well know, and it's very unpredictable. Volatile would be a good word. So
yes.
How do you dive into this to secure your financial future?
Yeah. Well, it's tough because there is a recent study that was done by Arizona State professor Hendrik Bessembinder. And wait till you hear these numbers. And we've always kind of known this, but this really quantifies the challenges that people have going into retirement and through retirement when dealing with the stock market. So according to his research, just over half of the 29,000 stocks in the U.S. stock market ended up negative compound returns over their lifetime. So the median performer in the group had a cumulative return of minus 8%. This means that for most individual stocks, there's a greater chance you'll see a loss rather than a gain. In fact, if you would have held just a treasury bill, you would have outperformed 60% of the stocks in the stock market.
That's
and by the way, this was, go ahead.
We only hear about the big winners.
That's it. We only hear about the big winners. And the stock market overall has produced incredible returns thanks to those small number of mega winner stocks that carried the market. And what Bessenbinder's research found is that just 83 companies were responsible for half of the total wealth creation from 1926 to 2019. That's incredible. So that's only 4% of the stocks generated all the net wealth during that time. So when we talk about mega winners, we're talking about like Nvidia, right? Amazon, Facebook, all right? Nvidia posted a 33% annual growth rate over two decades. That's a, you know, or the Altria Group has a staggering 265 million percent return. That's incredible.
But it's almost like playing the lottery to some degree, maybe not quite as astronomical, but still you're betting on success, but you're telling me the actual data and statistics say that's not the winner.
That's it. It's exactly right. And this further is backed up by one of Charlie Munger's statement, Warren Buffett's partner, Charlie Munger, who had said that out of all the stocks him and Warren had purchased, hundreds of stocks that they'd purchased over their lifetime working together, only about 10 were responsible for their wealth. So, you know, if you're nearing retirement, you simply can't afford to take unnecessary risk with your money. While the idea of hitting mega winners sounds appealing to a lot of people, and there's a lot of journals out there you can purchase like Motley Fool, and lots of people out there will tell you what individual stocks to purchase. But you've got 60% of them that have an average negative 8% rate of return. So we have to have a comprehensive plan in place. And this is why it's so important to have a plan. But it also shows that stock picking, it mathematically does not work to your advantage when you have that percentage of companies showing negative returns and only a few showing positive returns. And how are you going to know which are going to be the winners and losers each year? So this is why working with a fiduciary who is legally obligated to act in your best interest can help you structure a plan that balances growth with protection. And this is why I always believed in keeping things simple, because it's about having the right strategy so you don't have to depend on catching that one elusive stock that outperforms the market. And I know everybody has that Uncle Joe at the holiday dinners or their buddy that's telling them about this individual stock that they purchased, and everybody feels like they're missing out. But they only feel like they're missing out when people are making money. They don't feel that way when people are losing money. And this is, in my 25 years of doing this, this is when I realized that, wait a second, the most important thing we can do, all of us, including myself, is to make sure that you have a foundation built first, meaning that you have your essentials taken care of, your expenses, right? Making sure that you have a way to put food on the table, take care of your expenses. And this is why focusing on the strategy for income and getting yourself guarantees first is what matters. Once you do that, take all the risks that you want, pick all the individual stocks that you want. But you have to understand, with over 50% of the stocks having an average rate of return of negative 8%, you have to understand that the cards are stacked against you here, and because most people are not stock pickers, Larry, right? So this is why I wrote the book, Right Track Your Retirement, because people needed a way to build a retirement plan that they could rely on that would give them peace of mind and security, not only going into retirement, but through retirement, because the last thing you want is to be in retirement, not getting it right, your portfolio not performing correctly, and knowing that you're going to probably have to go back to work because you're not going to be able to continue to take the money that you want to take out of your portfolio because it didn't perform the way you thought it was going to perform.
Yeah, there's a simple acronym for this called FOMO, which is fear of missing out, because people hear about, oh, so-and-so made a bunch of money on one stock. And let's face it, even experts in the stock market don't know 100%, or they'd all be billionaires too. So what do That's you expect right. from us as just average citizens with limited knowledge, guessing what's going to go up and down over the course? And it's hard for the experts to be successful at it. That means it would be a lot harder for us.
Yeah. And, you know, did you know 80% of the mutual funds out there never beat the S&P 500? And every one of those mutual funds, what they have in common is they have a professional team behind them making decisions on what stocks to buy and sell. And over 80% of them can't beat the stock market. So what does that tell you? Right. Wow. So there's a better way to do this, folks. I'm telling you, you know, when I got into the financial industry 25 years ago, I was brainwashed like every other financial advisor that we thought it was a great idea to put your money at risk. I don't believe that. And I haven't believed that for the last 15 years. Now, I'm okay with the stock market. I'm not against the stock market. As a fiduciary firm, we use all investments. But my message to people, and you'll hear me say it over and over and over, is you should be more concerned about the return of your money than the return on your money. Because in retirement, the only thing that matters is your peace of mind and security and doing the things you promised yourself you were going to do. And the last thing you want is anything going wrong during that period of time.
Ryan Quaranta, appreciate the great info. RightTrackPittsburgh.com, and we'll talk to you next Monday. Coming up at the top of this hour, we're going to talk to our sports director, Jeff Hathorn. How about them Steelers? Two road wins to open the season before they come home to face the Chargers Sunday at Acrisure Stadium. Plus, that backyard brawl was an epic performance by the Panthers on Saturday. And we'll continue to bring you the latest on the attempted assassination attempt in West Palm Beach, Florida. We'll keep you posted on the details as well.
As I sit here today, Russ is not scheduled to be a full participant in practice, and so we're ready in a plan that features Justin and his readiness. We'll follow Russ throughout the week, and if his participation gets to a level in participation and quality where we should consider him, we'll delve into that at that time. And obviously, when that happens is a component of the consideration. But as I sit here today, he is not scheduled to be a full participant tomorrow in practice, and so we're readying ourselves around Justin. And we'll stay in that mindset until something else happens. Hypotheticals is a waste of our time.
Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin yesterday as he faced the media horde, which included our own Odyssey sports director Jeff Hathorn, who joins us via video if you're watching our stream at kdkradio.com. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. I'm glad to see that you're participating this morning.
I love some of Coach Tomlin's isms, but I'll tell you, it was funny because he started to get a little feisty with the questions about the quarterback, right?
Yeah, typically what he does when he has a subject that he's either some type of controversy or involves multiple people for one position, he likes to throw that out at the beginning of his monologue. So that way when he answers questions about it, he gets a little perturbed because I covered that. And after about three or four or five different times, I think he kind of got to that point. And as he tells us often, I've been around this game, and he knows that if he kind of indulges in any type of speculation or hypotheticals, then that gets out there and that's never good.
And then he said this to the gathered media horde.
None of your businesses, respectfully. There's certain things that go on among teams that I don't talk about. Whether it gets out or how it gets out is unimportant to me, and I'm not overly guarded against it. But it's just certain things as a leader that I talk to the collective about that I have zero intentions of sharing with the larger public, because it's about our collective and how we come together and how we appreciate and support one another. You know, I can't give you all the ingredients to the hot dog. You might not like it.
What was he referring to?
Well, I guess without, you know, giving away the ingredients to the hot dog, Justin Fields had mentioned after the game that they gave what was called a petty game ball to Russell Wilson. And I guess they do that to a few other players. They're not the official game ball, but they're like an auxiliary game ball. And he said that he got that game ball because Russ was done dirty in Denver with the way they handled him. So it was kind of a recognition to Russ, who obviously couldn't play, that, hey, we had your backs against the team that, you know, didn't treat you fairly.
So it looks like Justin Fields will start his third game, the home opener Sunday against the Chargers, 1 o'clock at Acrisure Stadium. How do you evaluate Justin Fields' play to this point?
Well, I mean, knocking on wood, he hasn't turned it over. That's the best thing you could say about Justin. Not to say he hasn't done some other things. I mean, the way he used his legs in Atlanta and kind of got going in the second half, it didn't count. But that throw he made to Pickens on the run off his back foot, it was just a laser for 51 yards. And he was tightly covered. You couldn't have placed the ball in a better spot than that throw. So we've seen some of those, you know, some of those things the Bears fans saw for 3 years. He'll make the spectacular plays. Consistency is still lacking a little bit, and now you get a step up in competition on Sunday.
Yeah, so let's talk about the Chargers under new leadership, a name we're very familiar with.
I'm not familiar. What's the name? No, Harbaugh, yeah.
Jim Harbaugh, whose relationship with the Steelers dates back to almost completing a Hail Mary pass in the end zone, which would have prevented the Steelers from moving on. Obviously Michigan and all the controversy that went on last year. Yeah.
Right. That's why I paused. I was thankful to see there were no guys on the Denver sidelines with a Central Michigan jersey, maybe trying to steal signals of the Steelers. Listen, I will say this. Harbaugh has transformed that team into one that looks like it should be in the AFC North. Like, they've gone from kind of the Hollywood throw it deep with some good players to this tough, physical, want to run the football. And they're doing it with J.K. Dobbins, the former Raven, who has kind of found a second life after dealing with some injuries. And he's rushed for nearly 300 yards in 2 games. So they're a grind. Their offensive coordinator is the old Ravens offensive coordinator. So it's going to look similar to a John Harbaugh team in Baltimore. But they have two edge rushers that are elite.
Well, 1 o'clock Sunday, the home opener, with the weather being as nice and the Steelers being 2-0 coming off the road, the atmosphere should be a lot of fun on the North Shore. When we come back, Jeff, want to talk about Sidney Crosby's new deal, and also how about that backyard brawl and what's ahead.
Waits. Breaks, contained, throws a pass down the field. It's intercepted, and that's your ball game. Pulling that ball in front of the receiver was Kyle Lewis.
Let's go!
What a comeback!
That's the voice of the Panthers Hall of Famer, Bill Hillgrove, with Pat Bostic. And we continue our conversation with our Odyssey Sports Director, Jeff Hathorn. What a backyard brawl. What a football game, Jeff. That was one for the ages Saturday at Acrisure Stadium.
Yeah, it was. I mean, that's what makes college football great. That's why you want to play rivalries. I mean, it would have been a great game. Cincinnati was a great game, but it didn't have the emotion because it's West Virginia.
Right.
And know what it means. And Eli Holstein, now he's starting to get some national recognition. He was on some National Player of the Week award lists. And this kid, and I mean, when it gets bad, this kid steps up.
He's big. He's 6'4", round 2, 32-25. And for the third week in a row, he was chosen as the ACC Rookie of the Week in his first 3 starts at the collegiate level, plus add in quarterback of the week. And so they head into a weekend where everybody feels like, well, Youngstown State, just were upset by Duquesne. But I'm sure Coach Narduzzi, if he hasn't said it already, will say this could be a trap game.
Yeah, you get that clip from Star Wars. It's a trap. that would be this game. Listen, Youngstown State's a good team. It was a great win by Duquesne. But this is a playoff team in the FCS, and there are a number of players that are helping the Pitt team right now that played in FCS. So they should understand and be able to say, like, listen, this is going to be this would make their season if they would be able to do it. And it wasn't that long ago that they were able to do it. And so you need to make sure you keep that focus and not just celebrate 3-0 and make sure you get yourself to 4-0.
Yeah, I think Pitt is 21-1 against FCS teams, and the only one was against Youngstown State, Paul Christ's first game of his first year when he was coaching before Pat Narduzzi. So Youngstown State and Pitt, 3:30 Saturday at Acrisure Stadium. Then they have a bye, and then Pitt will travel to ACC action at North Carolina. Before you go, though, I want to talk about Sidney Crosby signing a two-year extension. A lot of people were looking at the numbers in terms of what he's paid, $8,700,000 back-to-back. I think he gets a $9 million signing bonus. However, when you compare that against other players, it's a lot less than he's worth. Why did he take so much less?
Yeah, he's 44th in the NHL in average salary. You know, he said he wanted it. He's always believed that he wants to be able to be competitive. And he said he knows how this works, meaning when you have a salary cap, if one guy eats up too much of it, that's going to, you know, keep you from signing a player or two. And he wanted to be to allow enough room for them to be able to do that. And in order for him to sign, he felt like he got assurances from the team that, you know, they're still looking to win now. There's no rebuild, that, you know, they're trying to turn this thing right away. And, you know, he's optimistic, as he is every year, about this team.
How unselfish is this? I mean, Jeff, we don't hear a lot of this at the professional level.
Yeah, and I mean, listen, it's not like he's making $7 an hour. I mean, he's still getting paid very well. But yeah, that is worth pointing out, because he could have. It's not that he could have written a number down and forced the Penguins to pay it, but he could have asked for a lot more. But that's just kind of the mindset that he goes into these things with. And it's part of his legacy in Pittsburgh. I really think that. I mean, how many millions of dollars he left on the table to try to make sure this team was a winner, I think is part of the Sidney Crosby story.
And the fact is, they're getting ready for the season, too. He did this on the day he delivered season tickets to a home in Mars. I know you were there for that. How cool is that, though, for that family to see Sidney Crosby come up in his jersey with their tickets for the season?
Yeah, one of the owners, Heather Rogers, just like, I can't believe that Sidney Crosby was on our porch, and then he was doing a news conference about his new contract on my porch.
I saw that.
it was really cool. She and you know, before we talked to Sid, like, he sat and talked with the family for like 10 minutes. It wasn't just a drive-by, like, handshake and let's go. He sat and talked to the kids. And I'll relay a real quick story. The youngest boy, they're like, Sid says, would you like me to sign? He had a Crosby jersey on. Would you like me to sign it? He's like, no. He didn't want any marks on his jersey. And the mom's like, no. You want him to sign this jersey. So Sid ended up doing it.
That's good stuff. Jeff, always appreciate your time, and excited about the weekend when you have back-to-back football games at Acrisure. Looking forward to the home opener on Sunday and Pitt in Youngstown State Saturday. I was thinking of Jimmy Sacco and the crew over there at the stadium. They got a quick turnaround after the Pitt game to set up the stadium for the Steelers.
Yeah, Larry, we're going to miss those 70-degree kickoffs. That's going to be nice.
All right, Jeff Hathorn, our Odyssey Sports Director, and check out Jeff's work on 93.7 The Fan as well. I hear the boss, man, he was back in town after 8 years for two shows wrapped around Labor Day, got to attend one of them. The boss still got it. I mean, the boss on the stage. Of course, our boss, Aaron, still has it, right? Just say yes.
Yes.
Good answer. We welcome Rick Seeger, who is with he's the Secretary of Community Matters and Economic Development of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Main Street Matters. Rick, welcome to KDKA.
Great to be here on my hometown radio station, Larry. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, where'd you grow up, Rick?
I grew up in O'Hara Township in Fox Chapel area.
Oh.
And live in Shadyside. Yeah.
Well, there you go. I appreciate your time. This is exciting for me because we've spent so much time and with my radio partner and our midday host, Marty Griffin, talking about how to reimagine downtown. Now, I would think there's some good news in the sense that a couple of factors. One is we heard Amazon this week say that they're going to have their employees come back to the office by the first of the year. I would imagine that sets the bar to, you know, reinvigorate some downtown areas. But right now, the focus is on trying to reimagine our cities and keep them viable. So tell us a little bit about Main Street Matters and the mission.
Yeah, thanks again for having me on. Look, on September 3rd, so just a couple weeks ago, we opened a brand new program called Main Street Matters. That's part of Governor Shapiro's budget for this year. And it's really about supporting Main Streets. It's about downtown business districts. It's about small businesses and communities all across Pennsylvania. And I want to emphasize this is a program that's important in rural areas, but also suburban and urban areas. So, you know, as I've traveled Pennsylvania, I've been in Honesdale in the Northeast. I've been in Fishtown, you know, a neighborhood of Philadelphia. I've been in Ambridge just a couple of weeks ago with Lieutenant Governor Davis. We think that the importance of these cores of our communities, downtowns and main streets, wherever they are critical to the future of Pennsylvania. And we want to invest there.
And I think, I personally think that's a tremendous idea because so many of our smaller communities just need a little lift. And it does a body good, I think, when you see the main street in your town making some progress and, you know, aesthetically looking good too, right?
That's right. And that's why we've designed this program at scale. So it's a $20 million per year program statewide, but also with flexibility to kind of meet communities where they are. We want to be able to fund micro grants for small businesses, but also to your point, grants that can beautify communities, things like facade grants, things like stormwater management and sort of streetscape improvements that make downtowns sort of sing in a way that I think we all know. This is not just important, though, to sort of make things look good. There's a real economic imperative here, right? Downtowns are economic hubs. They're where businesses want to be. They're where people want to live. Tourists want to visit. Folks innovate. And we think that's really part of our overall economic plan for the state.
So how do these small towns and bigger towns, too, how do they tap into this resource?
Yeah, well, look, we opened early September. You can go to our website right now, dced.pa.gov, and get an application going. Only certain organizations are eligible, like individuals can apply, but any local government can apply, like a city or a town or a borough. Redevelopment authorities can apply, nonprofits can apply, community development groups can apply. Folks whose mission is really focused on making downtowns or neighborhoods great. And there are lengthy and detailed guidelines on our website, but I'd also encourage folks to reach out to our team. We've seen huge interest from folks all across Pennsylvania in this program, no surprise. And we're ready to have conversations with people about trying to structure the best application possible to serve the goals of the local community. And let me just like focus on that for 1 second. This is not about the state telling Ambridge or downtown Pittsburgh or Brookline what to do. This is about us empowering local leadership to sort of realize their vision for a great downtown or Main Street.
And we'll start seeing this. When will the actual monies, when will some of these things start to be visual?
Sure. Well, November 15th, the application period closes. So we want to give folks a lot of time to sort of do the hard work to put together a plan to apply for the dollars. Once that closes, we'll move really quickly to evaluate those applications, and we should award sometime early in the new year.
All right, Rick, appreciate the update. Thank you.
Thank you for having me, sir.
We've got Rick Sager, who is the Secretary of Community and Economic Development, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, Main Street Matters. Download the free Odyssey app, AUDACY. Take us with you wherever you go. And maybe you're going to go see this show, Nick Swartzen of the Carnegie Homestead Music Hall, November 24th. So, Nick, if you know his work, he's a stand-up comedian. He's an actor, screenwriter, and producer. He's known for his role as Tony Baradino in Reno 911. He's been in Adam Sandler movies, a very funny guy. And we have a pair of tickets for you at 412-922-1020. 412-922-1020. Aaron, pick a number. from 1 to 1 million.
Let's do caller number 5.
Caller number 5. We're going to make you a winner. So pretty. I know. Now, this is where Erin gets very anxious. She hears the phone ring, and she can't wait. Now, wait. Don't answer the phone. Just wait another minute. All right, go ahead. I don't want to stress you out. Coming up in our next hour, we're going to talk to Christine Sorensen, KDK TV anchorwoman, who just received the Bill Burns Award at the Art Rooney Awards last night, the 51st annual. And we'll talk about what's going on this weekend, Kidsburg, and get a chance to get her take on taking Marty out for this big soiree last night. Coming up in this half hour, right after the news at the bottom, we're going to talk to Christine Sorensen, anchorwoman, KDK TV. Of course, Marty Griffin's wife. She visits every Wednesday, coming off a big night, the 51st annual Art Rooney Awards, in which she received the Bill Burns Award. And we'll also talk about what's going on for the weekend. If you haven't discovered Kidsburg, they do a great job, and it's definitely worth a look. And sometimes you don't have to have kids. Kids, grandkids, sometimes there's some really cool stuff for adults, too. A child was among at least 9 people killed in the pager explosions, which wounded about 2,800 people in Lebanon. And we begin the details of that story with CBS's Anne Marie Green.
Sophisticated remote attack that blew up thousands of pagers used by Hezbollah militants, killing at least 9, as the terror group threatens to retaliate against Israel. The Taiwanese company, whose name is on the pagers, says it did not make them. Gold Apollo says they were made by a company in Budapest that has the right to use its brand name. There are still many questions about how this attack was executed. Here's CBS's Elizabeth Palmer.
The pagers exploded wherever Hezbollah fighters happened to be, in the street, at store checkouts, behind the wheel. In this bedroom, one blew a hole in the desk. Ambulances rushed the injured to hospitals, and emergency rooms filled with those injured by the tiny blasts powerful enough to shred faces and limbs. One high-profile casualty was Iran's ambassador to Lebanon, who was slightly hurt. It took no time for Hezbollah's TV station to pin the blame. We hold the Israeli enemy responsible, he says, for this criminal aggression. Hezbollah's leader, Hassan Nasrallah, had told his men months ago to get rid of their smartphones to foil Israeli tracking. But the low-tech pager alternative has proved deeply embarrassing. Seema Shein is ex-head of research at Mossad, Israel's foreign intelligence agency.
So what's the psychological effect of this? What are the Hezbollah commanders thinking tonight?
That they are not safe anywhere. And this is something very difficult. They are not safe anywhere. Their communication is not safe.
Are they going to feel obliged to respond?
I think they will retaliate, yeah, no question.
Israel and Hezbollah have been trading fire across the border with Lebanon for months. We may just have seen the opening salvo in a much bigger war.
Everybody is wondering how the pagers were booby-trapped and, of course, how they were detonated. We may not get answers to that for some time, but Seema Shein told me that this was such a sophisticated piece of sabotage. The saboteurs got deep inside Hezbollah's equipment supply line that it must have been the work of a state. Elizabeth Palmer, CBS News, Tel Aviv.
And yesterday, Marty talked with Secret Service agent for 4 presidents, Ron Layton, who's a Pittsburgh guy, about how is this possible?
We're framing it as a pager, but it could be any device that's portable that I give you that either has a cellular or an RF trigger with an embedded explosive device. Wow. That's it. It could be a car. It could be a pager. It could be anything that's got a charge on it.
The pagers that blew up were apparently acquired by Hezbollah after the group's leader was told that they could track, as you heard, their cell phones, warning. But how would they know that they were going to switch from the cell phones to what is more antiquated now these days. I mean, you don't see people with pagers around town anymore due to what you can utilize with your own cell phone. So this is a new twist with the exploding Hezbollah pagers made in Hungary by a company. In a long history of the fighting between the two, being Hezbollah and Israel, is well documented. And about 3:30, this was such a highly coordinated effort. It's stunning how this actually happened. And we get more details, of course, we'll share them with you here on the Big K Morning Show. Reach out to us anytime, just a click away. Instant access at kdkradio.com. Appreciate your comments, feedback, ideas, reactions to them. We all read your emails, and hopefully you get a response from one of us or more. If you don't, we still see them. That's instant access at kdkradio.com. So, former President Donald Trump back on the campaign trail. First public appearance in Michigan yesterday after an alleged assassination attempt at his golf course in West Palm Beach, Florida. And the campaign continues now, one day shy of 7 weeks. Here's CBS's Jared Hill talking about protecting our candidates.
Speaking of protection around Trump, his running mate is calling for the former president's level of security to be elevated to be the same as the current president. But his campaign isn't slowing down with less than 2 months until Election Day.
Thank you very much.
Former President Donald Trump back on the campaign trail in Michigan, days after a second suspected assassination attempt at his golf club in West Palm Beach.
This guy was all set. He was all set to do his number.
The former president courted auto workers at a town hall, pledging to put a 200% tariff on cars built in China and Mexico.
You have countries stealing your business.
We are winning this campaign.
Yesterday, Vice President Kamala Harris hit the trail in Philadelphia, sitting down with the National Association of Black Journalists, the same group Trump appeared before back in July when he made controversial statements about her racial identity.
Is she Indian or is she black?
Harris said she spoke to Trump on the phone about Sunday's incident after he publicly blamed her and President Joe Biden for incendiary rhetoric he says led to the assassination attempts against him.
I checked on him to see if he was okay.
Yeah.
And I told him what I have said publicly. There's no place for political violence in our country.
Harris also criticized Trump's false claims that Haitian migrants are eating pets in Springfield, Ohio.
It's a crying shame. Spewing lies that are grounded in tropes that are age old.
Ohio's Republican governor has sent additional state troopers to schools in Springfield after the city received more than 30 bomb threats last week. He says the misinformation needs to stop.
Today, Harris is in D.C. speaking to an event for the Congressional Hispanic Caucus, while former President Trump will hold a rally in Uniondale, New York.
CBS's Jared Hill. We also found out that Donald Trump will be coming to IUP, Indiana University of Pennsylvania, and has promised again to come back to Butler County. We don't have a date or location just yet. And he also said yesterday in Michigan,
only consequential presidents get shot at. Right. When I say something like that, you have countries saying this guy, but what can you do? You have to do what you have to do, right? We have to be brave. Otherwise, we're not going to have a country left.
And the campaign continues. Meanwhile, I got some good news. If you want to get your passport renewed, today is the official day that you can start doing it online. So remember lining up, trying to figure out when you could go renew your passport. Well, starting today, you can get a new one online. They've been testing it out for 2 months so far. Haven't had any major hiccups. There are a few exceptions. You have to be in the U.S. to apply online. And if your passport has expired more than 5 years, then you need to renew it in person. Other than that, the processing to do it online is easy, but they're not suggesting that you will get it or can expect it any faster. Aaron, you have a passport. I got to get mine renewed, but now I got to look and see if it's beyond the 5 years. I don't know where I'm going, but it's nice to have it just in case you
it
need
really
to get
is.
Away.
I got lucky just because, you know, when you get married, you have to change everything. So I just got lucky in that way where mine's kind of fresh.
All right. Now, that said, do you have that new upgraded license? Because
no.
Remember, when they kicked this thing in, they moved the date because of COVID several times. But you're going to have to fly on an aircraft. You're going to either need a passport.
Or the real ID.
Real ID.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have that.
I do not. I just have my ID and passport. I'll carry them together.
Interesting, because I got to get one of those. It's on a list. See, I have a list right here.
A checklist.
Things I'm going to do. And, you know, you learn things doing this show, obviously. And that reminds me, I got to get my passport renewed.
Scratch it off.
I will check on that. Meanwhile, you know, it is National Cheeseburger Day.
What's with all these cheese? It was Big Mac Day not too long ago.
Well, I think McDonald's just made that one up. which
just a reason.
So, do you like cheeseburgers?
I do.
And where is your favorite burger place?
Currently, my favorite cheeseburger is actually at Juniper Grill in Murraysville. Their burger is insane.
Have you had a smash burger?
I haven't in a long time. I have at least once, but I don't even remember.
I'm looking at David Ballarato. He's preparing emotionally and mentally for his next newscast. David, do you like cheeseburgers? No, you're not a cheeseburger. You're a vegan?
I don't eat any type of sandwich concoction.
No, you're an anti-sandwicher. That's new.
I am about as pro-sandwich as they come.
And Ben Kamenos, who used to work here, we're in the same boat. There's just something about the concept that just disgusts both of us.
Disgusts?
Yes.
Wow.
Wow, that's...
It's a big deal. Big statement.
Sorry. I understand if people don't eat meat or whatever. You're the first person in my life I've ever met who's just a sandwich.
Anti-sandwich
person. Well, what do you eat? What's your thing? Go to?
Well, it depends.
Are you a health food person?
It depends on what type of health food it is. It's got to taste good before I eat it or it's not very healthy. Right?
Anti-sandwicher.
Wow.
Peanut butter sandwich?
Oh, no. That's especially gross, if you ask me.
Wow.
So a Permanis is off the chain for you.
Correct.
I may have a cheeseburger just to spite you.
Help yourself.
Today. All right. From the P.J. Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Traffic Center, AAA traffic is powered by Bowser Genesis of Monroeville. Let's get the latest. Here's Brandon Rossi.
Thanks, Larry. Once again, Parkway West continues to be the heaviest stuff right now. That is very, very heavy from the top of Green Tree Hill down into the Fort Pitt Tunnel. Parkway East starting to wither away, but very, very slowly. You still have a lengthy backup beginning at the Wilkinsburg Interchange down into the Squirrel Hill Tunnel. 28 South starting to look better. A little bit of some hesitation just past the 31st Street Bridge going into the city. Parkway North looks good. And on Sawmill Run Boulevard, some stoplight delays here and there between Route 88 and the Liberty Tunnel. But those roadways are looking better. It's starting to clear up, which is good news. And finally, we do have an accident in Mount Lebanon. This is at the intersection of Washington Road and Mount Lebanon Boulevard. Our next report at 9:35 with AAA traffic on the fives. I'm Brandon Rossi on the Voice of Pittsburgh, 100.1 FM and AM 1020 KDKA.
Thank you, Brandon. And it looks like this is the cloudiest day of the week. We have clouds, and we actually ended up seeing some sunshine yesterday. It turned out to be a decent day and no rain. Not much rain out now. And looking at the radar at the moment, I can tell you exactly where the showers are. But if you get rain, not anticipating more than maybe a tenth of an inch. And right now, Cranberry, from Cranberry North, Evan City, Conakinesin, Zeeley, and Opal up to Prospect, getting a little shower that's passing, pushing from the southeast to the northwest. That's unusual because usually everything comes from the northwest or west and moves east. 77 will be our high. And right now at Pittsburgh International, we are at 65 degrees. This weather update brought to you by UPMC, Heart disease kills one person every 33 seconds. Schedule your heart screening at UPMC today. And we've got Marty Griffin coming up, 10 until 2, and we'll talk to Marty here in the next few minutes. But first, every Wednesday at this time, Marty's wife, Christine Sorensen, KDK TV anchorwoman, and now awardee. She has so many awards, but this one, pretty special last night. The 51st Annual Art Rooney Awards, and you received the Bill Burns Award. Congratulations.
Thank you, following your footsteps as a winner last year. It is a big honor. I mean, to get the nod from, you know, the Rooneys and this wonderful selection committee with the Catholic Youth Association and the great work that they do. And then to be, you know, grouped in with these other incredible people like Rich Fitzgerald and Diane Huff and, you know, the president of Duquesne University, basketball coach at Duquesne. I mean, it was truly an honor. So really fun night, too. What a great event they do.
That's a really nice space because you can kind of see the city. And
yeah, at Acrisure, that gorgeous kind of event room.
Beautiful. All right, we'll ask Marty because he got to go, too.
He
I know
did.
How much he loves
kids.
Dinners. And
yes, yes.
He posted a video, and you got to check it out at Marty's social media because you see this beautiful award. It's lit. It has a light in it.
Yeah, plugs in.
And then he pans over, and there you are, Christine, on the couch with a little blanket on your lap and a bag of Doritos.
Yes.
You look very happy.
Yes, I love my Doritos. That was my reward.
All right, let's talk about Kidsburg.
Yes.
Big weekend. This is the last summer weekend.
It really is. And we've got a guide out right now to, it's our fall events guide. And there are more than 70 different things to do all around our region this fall. And starting with RAD days. And if people don't remember what this is, RAD stands for Regional Asset District. And we all pay 1% sales and use tax that go to all these regional assets, things like, you know, the Science Center and FIPS and our parks. And those really help make our area what it is, all these amazing things that we have that a lot of other areas don't have. It's because of this funding that we help provide. And as a thank you for getting that, they have RAD Days, which is where they offer free events, free experiences, and it goes through October 5th. So just a couple things happening, like there's an cool free fishing in the evening event. There's the Owl Prowl hike. Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra has a free concert at Heinz Hall. You can check out Soldiers and Sailors Museum for free. Those are all coming up, but I just want to highlight a couple this weekend. So on Saturday at PPG Paints Arena, you can skate for free right where the Penguins skate on the ice they just put down. That's a cool open skate event. You do need to register for that one. And then also Saturday, the family podcasting at the SLB Radio Youth Media Center. This is actually where Kidsburg records our podcast. And they're going to have a really cool experience where families can go and see how to make their own podcast.
When you say they put the ice down, it's like, whoa.
I know.
Wait a minute. Yeah.
Preseason starts this weekend. It's crazy.
Yeah. PPG Paints Arena just signed... It's no longer Sid the Kid. It's Sid the Mid. He's, you know,
that's hilarious.
By the time the end of this 2-year contract extension's over, he'll be 40.
Whoa. So, is that for real?
Yeah, yeah.
My gosh, I remember when he came here.
What a thrill to be able to go out there on the PPG Paints ice.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's really cool. And then on Sunday, this is also part of RAD Days, there's the River Trail Rec Day. This is at the Allegheny River Trail, the Park Pavilion. There's starting at 10 a.m. on Sunday. There's going to be so many fun recreational things that they're offering with free fitness classes for the whole family, rowing demonstrations, water rentals. In addition to this, like creative play and running, all run club there. And you can also bring your own bikes or scooters or rollerblades and have some fun on the trails there. So that's going to be cool. And then the last thing I wanted to mention is the Heyday Festivals. This is definitely a sign of fall arriving. So this Saturday, it's at Hartwood Acres. And then the following Saturday on September 28th, it's at South Park. But it's the same festival. Basically, they've got all these really fun giant inflatables. with slides and bounce houses and that kind of thing. And then they've got hay rides. There'll be puppet shows, petting zoos, balloon artists, games, all kind of fun things for kids. And then, of course, you can buy your own food as you want. But everything's free other than, you know, what you choose to buy in terms of food.
I think a lot of people like me, I love this time of year with these Oktoberfests and all the fall special events that are going on all around the region. And kidsburg.org is a great resource. You can check that out, whether you have kids, grandkids, or even see. There are a lot of fun things that really adults can enjoy just as much.
Absolutely. I mean, to be honest, a lot of these are not just for kids, but it is a great way to expose your kids to some new things.
All right, coming up, we're going to talk to Marty in a minute. But first, I want to ask you, you were at the Backyard Brawl.
Oh, how fun was that? What a game.
And Sophia, your sophomore in the Panther Pit.
Yes.
They've been so loyal. These students, they really have. When the gates open 2 hours before kickoff, you can see them literally streaming in.
It was packed. I mean, they went all the way to the top of the stadium this time. It was so cool to see the kids so into it. And really, the whole stadium, everyone was into it on both sides. It was really a fun, exciting game.
Yeah, and the Panthers are playing again this Saturday at 3:30, and that's against Youngstown State. And then Sunday, you have the Steelers' home opener.
I can't believe they turned the stadium around so quickly, because I was just there last night, and we went out and we saw the open field, and you see the Pitt Panthers banners and everything. And I'm like, how do they do that so quickly?
And it's tough because 3:30 to get it ready for the next morning.
Right.
They literally work all night.
They must.
And they
transition
all of that stuff. But how exciting to have the Steelers coming off two road games to start the season, 2-0.
Yeah.
That crowd Sunday is going to be crazy.
It is.
It's going to be a summer-like day weather-wise, but no rain, no lightning to worry about. We can just wear your SPF and your bring it. All right, coming up next. Coming up 10 until 2, it's Marty Griffin and his wife Christine in studio with us.
What the hell's an anti-sandwich?
He's anti-sandwicher.
Are there like anti-sandwich protesters on the campus of Pitt today?
that's spot on.
My man.
I thought of the same thing. I never met anyone that was just totally anti-sandwich.
So Christine had her little award.
Her parents are supposed to be coming in.
Yeah, probably lost. She had a little award last night. And
it's awesome.
Christine mumbled to me that Michael Bartley was the best MC in town.
He is great.
I felt bad.
He's fantastic.
Fantastic. Are we done with these for a while, though?
Yes, we're done.
Are we done with these uncomfortable moments?
Well, no, actually, the Emmys are this Saturday, but we're going to a wedding instead.
The whoies?
Emmys. The Mid-Atlantic Emmys. Yeah.
Yeah, where are they? Do you know?
I believe it's at the Wyndham, right next to Katie Kay.
Oh, so it's here.
Yeah, it's in Pittsburgh this year. I know. I think.
You're going to be conflicted.
No, I'm not. I'm awarded out.
What are you going to say?
I literally lower my head and head through the crowd.
You know, your in-laws are listening right now.
God bless them.
Anything you want to share?
It's lovely having them here. Hey, Rich Fitzgerald nailed it about this U.S. Steel thing. You know why? They're cowards. They're political cowards. We're going to get into this. Fitz called this. He called this a month ago when these idiots started fighting over U.S. Steel. Because they're all trying to placate these union guys, and they don't want to lose union votes. So what'll happen is they'll screw the union guys, and they'll go against their wishes and approve this deal once the election's over.
You think?
Oh, please. No, I know. That's what will happen at the end of the day. And the truth of the matter is, fine. Hey, this pager thing.
Oh, man.
What's the lesson we learned yesterday, children? Don't jack with Israel. They don't mess around, man. This is why I love Israel. I'm serious. This is why I love and admire, respect their fight, their courage, and they're wily, man. They ain't giving up.
How did they pull that off?
God bless them. And I know people hate hearing this because they can't stand Jews, but that's your problem. I think they're an amazing people. This is brilliant. This is I Spy stuff. This is stuff, if you saw it in a movie, you wouldn't believe it.
Right, you'd say, nah, that's just too unbelievable to even put in a movie.
So Ron Layton's a true insider, and we have been using him a lot lately because we can. He's going to lay out how this stuff happens. It took, by the way, this wouldn't, there was some nuance to it yesterday when I asked him, would American agencies ever do this? And he said, not in the United States. How about that? You know what I'm saying?
So for those that don't know, they were warned that their phones could be tracking devices of them, Hezbollah. So they gave up their phones and they got pagers.
Somehow Israeli intelligence, I mean, this is the what sources are saying, not my sources. Somehow they got 3,000 pagers and put explosives in them and then detonated them all at 3 o'clock, 3:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah, simultaneous.
Hey, I got to read you, and we're going to play this too, but this is one of the greatest scanner calls that ever went out in the history of man. This is last night. Beachview, Alvarado Avenue. Verbatim, Larry. Caller said that he was smoking some weed and he felt guilty for it, and so he is sorry. He wants to turn himself in. Larry, that was nice of you to do.
Hey.
Oh, my goodness.
In Harrisburg, the recreational thing might be getting some real traction.
They've been high there for a while. So. Hey, I put a question on X this morning. If you were voting today, who would you vote for, Trump or Taylor Swift?
We'll see the results.
Gotta have some humor in this, man.
Oh, man.
Here we go.
Donald said only what? What do you say? Only what?
Only
relevant candidates.